I'm glad that you've chosen to listen to our messages from the Presbyterian Church of Barnet. I'm Howard Gaston, the pastor, and I believe that God's Spirit will speak to you during this time.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to serve you through our gifts, whether it's our own lives or these gifts that have been brought forward here today. We pray that they will be used to bring glory and honor to your name in so many amazing ways. We give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. And our scripture today is taken from 1 Kings chapter 18. And I'll begin by reading verses, starting with verse 22. And this is still an ongoing series of unusual, funny stories in the Bible. At first reading, you may not get the humor in this, but I'll tell you the joke as we go on. Then Elijah said, "I am the only prophet of the Lord still left, but there are 450 prophets of Baal. Bring two bulls. Let the prophets of Baal take one and kill it, cut it into pieces, put it on the wood, but don't light the fire. And I will do the same with the other bull. Then let the prophets of Baal pray to their God, and I will pray to the Lord. And the one who answers by sending fire, he is God." The people shouted their approval. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Since there are so many of you, you take a bull and prepare it first. Pray to your God, but don't set fire to the wood." They took the bull that was brought to them, prepared it, and prayed to Baal until noon. They shouted, "Answer us, Baal," and kept dancing around the altar they built, but no answer came. At noon, Elijah started making fun of them. "Pray louder. He's a god. Maybe he's daydreaming or relieving himself. Or perhaps he's gone off on a trip. Or maybe he's sleeping. And you gotta wake him up." So the prophets prayed louder and cut themselves with knives and daggers and according to their ritual until blood flowed. They kept on ranting and raving until the middle of the afternoon, but no answer came. No sound was heard. Then Elijah said to the people, "Come closer to me." They all gathered around him. He set about repairing the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one for each of the 12 tribes named of the sons of Jacob, the man to whom God had given the name Israel. And then these stones he rebuilt the altar for the worship of the Lord. He dug a trench around it, large enough to hold about 4 gallons of water. And then he placed the wood on the altar, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood, and he said, "Fill 4 jars with water and pour it over the offering, and pour it on the offering in the wood." And they did so. And he said, "Do it again." And they did. "Do it once more," he said, and they did. And the water ran down around the altar and filled the trench. At the hour of the afternoon sacrifice, the prophet Elijah approached the altar and prayed, "O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove now that you are the God of Israel, that I am your servant and have done all this at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so that this people will know that you, the Lord, are God, and you are bringing them back to yourself." The Lord sent fire down, and it burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, scorched the earth, and dried up the water in the trench. When the people saw this, they threw themselves on the ground and exclaimed, "The Lord is God! The Lord alone is God!" And Elijah orders, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let any of them get away." And the people seized them, and Elijah led them down to Kishon Brook and killed them. Amen. This is my dad's favorite story in the Bible. Growing up, he just loved this story, and I never really knew why he liked the story, but anytime the minister preached on it, he liked it. Anytime we had a Bible study, he always seemed to revert back to this story. And as a matter of fact, at his funeral, the minister of our church came up to me and said, "Are there any scriptures that you would like to be, you know, read for your dad?" And I said, "Yeah, I want the, you know, Elijah at Mount Carmel." And the poor minister looked at me and like, "How am I going to preach on that at a funeral?" But he did. And he did a wonderful job and connected my dad's personality and my dad's outlook and his faith to this story. And that's another sermon. We'll get to that some other day. But on this story today, because what makes it so humorous, of course, just besides the visual that you see in this story, is Elijah's words to the prophet Baal. I mean, he is literally mocking them, making fun of them in front of everybody. You know, he's not just saying, okay, let's have a competition here and see whose God is really God. In that one section, he's quite crass, if you will, in making fun of them, something that you and I would never do to somebody else's faith. But Elijah stands there and is making fun, saying, "Well, isn't he a god?" Little g, that's why it's little g in the bulletin. "Isn't he a god? So where is he? Is he away on a journey? Is he sleeping? Is he in the bathroom?" Is literally, you know, the translation, the Bible we read, the translation we read did it quite well. Is he relieving himself? All the things that a god doesn't do. And so he is making fun of this god. Now, first off, for him to make that much fun, he's got to have some pretty confidence because he's up next. And so the prophets of Baal even get more intense. As part of their ritual, they cut themselves and blood is flowing. They're screaming, they're dancing, they're doing everything that they know to do to bring about their God's power. They are working hard to get Baal to answer them. Well, finally Elijah says, "All right, enough." And he brings everybody together and says, "Okay, let's rebuild this temple or this altar that the Lord has built for us." And he takes 12 stones, as we have here today. We have 12 stones that the kids helped me put up. And he built this altar of 12 stones. He placed wood on it. And as he placed the wood on it, then he put the bull sacrifice on it, on top of it. Now, the 12 stones obviously represent the nation of Israel, all the nations of the brothers of the sons of Jacob, or Israel. And so that represents that. That's that symbolic gesture that as they look at it, they're looking at a symbol of the nation Israel. But then Elijah does something, you know, a step further. He has them bring jars of water and dumps it on the altar. Four. Then do it again. Four more. Do it one more time. Four more. Now, any of your math majors out there know that's 12. And for years, as I thought about that, I kind of wondered, okay, so is he really, you know, overly emphasizing his God and his God's ability by, you know, drousing this thing? And, you know, anybody who's tried to start a wet fire or wet wood knows that's hard. Is he just trying to make this harder? Because let's think about it. You're asking God of heaven to come down and burn the sacrifice. Is it going to make it any harder to add water to it? If God can burn that sacrifice without water, the water is not going to make it any better. So there somehow is a reason for that. And as I reflected on it, the best reason I can come up with is that the nation of Israel at that time, their state, who were they? They were a fickle people. They worship Baal. They worship any god that would get them what they wanted when they needed. They liked Yahweh, the God of gods, and he was the top god. But they weren't had any problem with the other gods. And so they would go back and forth. They depended on other gods. They depended on their own abilities and expertise, if you will, to get things done. In other words, they kind of depended on their own sinfulness. And so I think in this story, Elijah, by pouring 12 times water on this altar, he's reminding the people, this is the way that you quench your sacrifice to God, by the way you have responded to God over the centuries, the way that you have lived, the way that you depend upon yourself. And of course, when Elijah prayed, not only was the sacrifice bull burned up, but the rocks, which represented Israel, the water, which represented their sinfulness, was gone. And that's the good point of the story, because it reminded those people that it's not about them, it's not about just what they can do, or even their sinfulness. It's about this power and grace that comes from God. They couldn't make this thing ignite. They couldn't ignite the bull. They couldn't get rid of their own sins. Only God did. And so for us today, I wanted us to think about our own kind of, if you will, altar and situation that we have as we pour this over. Because when you think, we have, I think, a unique sense of sinfulness, a unique sense of ourselves and what we can do and what we're going to do. You know, we're kind of the pull yourself up by your own bootstraps kind of people. And that begins to diminish or drench God's relationship. For a lot of us, in our own experiences, we've had this. We have a little bit of a lack of faith. Sometimes we have complete dependency on our own abilities. If I can't do it, nobody else is going to do it. We live with broken relationships. We also depend on things to make us happy. Too many of us deal with addictive behaviors to get us through the day. We live in fear. Sometimes we are controlled by our past. We are controlled by our prejudice. Sometimes we act out in anger. Sometimes we act out in complacency and do nothing. And so much of the time, we are selfish. And that's not an exhaustive list. We could continue to pour water on top of this altar of things that keep us from experiencing God's power and grace. When we depend too much on our own abilities, when we begin to live too much in our own sinfulness, it's like pouring water on the altar of God. Now, I have to be honest with you. I really struggled throughout the week to find a way in which I could throw a match on that and you don't have a lot of smoke and fire and just do some kind of big magic trick. But then I realized that's what the prophets of Baal were doing. And that's not what we are about to do. So help me, if this thing blows up right now, I'm going to go crazy. But for me to go ahead and make it into a magic trick of some sort defeats the whole purpose. Because our lack of faith, our complacency, our anger, all those things, plus many, many more, does not depend on some magic word, but depends on our reliance upon God's power and God's grace to come upon us. Now, for me, the rest of the story, as we conclude here, is, you know, the people of Israel fell to their knees and said, Lord is God, Lord is only God. I mean, they seemed to change, but, you know, in a few days, they went back. Because I don't think they got the point. They saw the show, and the show was pretty spectacular. But they kind of missed the point that Elijah, I think, was showing, that they were drenching God's power and grace. And if they could move from that and experience that, then they would and could be true followers of God. Let's pray. God, we come before you and we thank you for your love and grace and power that is in our lives that we cannot summon by working really hard and doing something, but that we can experience when we are willing to turn our lives over to you, to willing to, in a sense, acknowledge those things that separate us from you, even as followers and believers. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to be aware of, to sense your grace and power in our lives, so that with integrity we can say, the Lord God is one. We pray, Lord, that we can do this in our lives through your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, I hope these messages have been a blessing to you for your life. And if you need any more assistance, be sure to contact the Presbyterian Church of Barnet in Vermont. Thank you.